It's good to see everybody out with us this evening. Thank you so much for being here. We do have some who are visiting. We're grateful that you all have chosen to be with us as well. And if you're viewing over the live stream, we're glad that you can join us in that way. And I want to encourage everyone to follow along with the things that we'll have to discuss in the sermon this evening. We have been in the early stages of a series on Jesus and manhood. And one of the things that I said we were going to do in the introductory sermon in this series is not just look at Jesus, but we were also going to look at various men who kind of found themselves within our Lord's orbit. And notice the example that they set, both good and bad. The man we're going to be looking at this evening is a man who actually lived in the same household as our Lord, an honorable and just man. His name is Joseph. And while there isn't an awful lot said about Joseph in the Gospels, what is said about him gives us some insight on why he was chosen every bit as much as Mary was. And I want you to think about this. Of all the Jewish people in existence at that time, of course, Jesus had to come through that lineage. Of all the Jewish people in the world at that time, God chose Mary and her husband, Joseph, to raise the Lord during that period of time when he would be within the home. Now, we often talk about that or probably think about that as it relates to Mary, but God wanted Jesus to be with that man, to be with Joseph during his early formative years. And do you ever wonder why that might be? Well, we're going to notice some things that are said about Joseph, things that are going to show us he was a remarkable man, and perhaps give us the answer as to why God chose that man. In verses 18 and 19 of Matthew chapter 1, we read the following. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, I want to encourage all the men here to try to put yourself in the shoes of Joseph at this point. He learned that his fiancée was with child, and he knew that he was not the father of that child. Now, we can talk about until we're blue in the face the sterling character of Mary, but there's not a person on the face of the earth who's going to buy the excuse or the reason, I should say, she gave for being pregnant. It doesn't matter how good of a person she was. That's not just something that happened. And that's the reason why God felt the need to send the angel to Joseph, and the angel would speak to him and explain these things. But I think the first place we start to see some of the character of this man is in the statement found in verse 19. It says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now you've got to think, when he finds out that Mary is pregnant, Joseph's going to be hurt in a number of ways. The same way that any man would be hurt finding out that information and that news. And yet his concern, the thing that the Holy Spirit felt we need to know about Joseph, is not that he was focusing in upon however much pain he was experiencing at that time. Not focusing in, now, is there a way that I can really get back at her? She's really hurt me here. Is there a way that I can smear her name and let people know, hey, I've washed my hands of this and we're done with the whole situation? He's not thinking that way. He's trying to come up with a way to prevent her from feeling any more shame, or I should say experiencing any more shame than she was already going to experience. Yes, that angel is going to appear to Joseph. We're going to see this in a moment. And the angel is going to explain the situation to him. But do you believe everybody would be willing to accept that? Everyone who hears that Mary's pregnant says, oh yeah, this is something that came from the Lord. Of course not. Of course not. And even before he hears from the angel, Joseph, in whatever pain this has caused him, is only thinking about how can I ensure she experiences less shame? How can my actions and my decisions lead to that? And I'll tell you something, that is not common in a man. That is not common at all. But it's the type of man that God chose to raise his son during his formative years. Now, the angel is going to appear to Joseph and give him a rather difficult commission. In verses 20 through 24, we read this. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. Have you ever thought why the angel would say to Joseph, do not fear to take her as your wife? Now, the very obvious concern is there. She's pregnant and it's not his child. That's immediately going to jump. But I think there are some other things that could have stood in the way for Joseph, some other fears. So we said a few moments ago, not everyone is going to be willing to accept the truth of how that child got there. And there are going to be those who would always look at Mary with suspicion. There would be those who absolutely made up their minds about her. This is a woman who was engaged in things she had no business being engaged in. She got pregnant in the process. And that Jesus over there, he's the result of what she had done. Mary's going to be a stigmatized woman, at least among some. And even though the angel has appeared to him, and the angel has explained the truth of this situation, guys, you get right down to it, and this truth remains, that child was not his own. Now, maybe somebody could say, well, how could he still have any issue? This is the Messiah. Did the Jewish people accept the Messiah by and large? A lot of people weren't willing to accept him. A lot of people today aren't either. At the end of the day, this child was not his. Have you seen the way some men treat children that are not their own? Something to consider. I don't know if Joseph had any family of his own at this point who were around them. If he did, there's going to be potential family concerns. They're going to want to know, Joseph, what's going on here? Are you really saying to us, this is how she became pregnant? Are you really saying that? And what about concerns within Mary's own family? Will they all be willing to accept this? And what about their friends? And Joseph, what about his business prospects when people are hearing this story? There are so many reasons for Joseph to say, okay, I've heard from God on this, but this is just too much. And this is just too big. I'm washing my hands of this and I'm not going to put up with it. And that's absolutely not what he did. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. Do you see an ounce of hesitation on his part? I mean, do you see anything that would indicate that Joseph is reasoning the things that I just mentioned and he's thinking about them and he's trying to decide, now, do I really want to get involved here and do I really want to do this? Not a bit of it, is there? Not a bit of it. We noticed this morning as we talked about Jesus there in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. And we noticed that one of those temptations, it was a complete lie and it would not have brought about the result Satan pretended that it would have been. But there had to be an easier way, right? And Jesus didn't succumb to that sort of temptation. But Joseph wasn't thinking that way either. What God was asking him to do was place himself in a very difficult situation. One that would not be understood by all people, one that would not be accepted by all people, one that might even color how people looked at Joseph. But he had God's will in this. And once he knew what it was, there wasn't a moment's hesitation. Joseph did it. Passage even seems to be emphasizing that point. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, almost as if there's a haste to get it done. Just up to this point, I think about how many men would have just cut bait, would have just run. How many men would have left their family because it's just so hard? This man wasn't like that. And God knew that he wouldn't be. But there's going to be a new element added to this now. Not only is the whole situation difficult, it becomes dangerous. Over in chapter 2 of Matthew, verses 13 through 15, we read this. Now when they had departed, that's talking about the magi, the wise men who came to visit Jesus. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So the situation has gone now from dangerous, or difficult rather, to dangerous. They're being hunted. And again, Joseph had not asked for any of this. When he and Mary were betrothed, none of this had occurred to him. He didn't know any of this was going to happen. But this is the situation in which he finds himself now. And the angel keeps appearing to him. The angel's putting this on him. "Joseph, it is your responsibility. It is your obligation. I know you didn't ask for it to be this way. I know that it's difficult and now it's become dangerous. It is your job to care for them. It is your job to protect them. I am putting that on you," God is saying. And Joseph's just going to have to decide, is he willing to do that or is he not? And what he had to do to do this. I want you to consider it. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. He had to take his young family, his small family, and flee to another country and essentially live in hiding there. I'm not sure exactly how long. But we don't have any indication in Scripture that Joseph had ever been to Egypt. We don't have any indication that he had family there, that he had contacts there, that he had business opportunity there, that he even knew how to speak Egyptian. Oh yeah, we all have heard it said that Koine Greek was the common language throughout the empire, but we also know regions had their own dialect. And Egyptians are going to speak that. Did he even know that language? We don't have any indication that he did. We don't have any indication that he had any sort of connection to Egypt at all. But God had put the responsibility to protect his wife and his adopted son. And it was going to require Joseph to take these steps. And that's all there was going to be to it. One of my heroes is my Uncle Bob. Those who are members here know that my cousin Karen died towards the end of last year. Karen was about a year and a half older than I am. And Karen had Angelman syndrome. You may not know what that is. Most people don't. It's a symptom or a syndrome, rather, that causes severe mental handicap. And so while Karen was older than I am, Karen had never spoke a word. Didn't have the ability. She didn't have the ability to think and reason beyond the youngest. Well, not much beyond where Evelyn is now. For 45 years, my Uncle Bob did what every husband and father should do, and what so many have refused to do. He stayed there. He loved his family. He handled his responsibility. And he did what God told him to do. In one of the toughest situations that I have ever seen. And I respect and admire him so much for that. The truth of the matter is, beloved, there are so many men who claim to be Christians who have cut bait, who have run, who have left because the going got tough, and have left their family behind to fend for themselves. Men who have just thrown in the towel, who have given up on their responsibilities and their obligations, and what a stain that is on the name of God. When such men continue to claim to be his, God looked at Joseph and he said, "That's the man that I want my son to spend his formative years with." Because if there's one thing that Joseph was not, it was a quitter on his family. And what a wonderful example he was. Lots going on early on in the life of Jesus. It seems like they're constantly running. It seems like so much is happening. Eventually, it would get to the point where they could settle down. In verses 19 through 22 of Matthew 2, it says this: "When Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream," excuse me, "to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise. take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he learned that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. It is after this that we're almost done with Joseph and seeing anything more about him. We will see him again in Luke 2. We're going to go over there in just a moment. But they finally get to a point.